The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Near the end of the Parsha, in the Devarim Chof Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, Lo Yovei Amoni Umoavi Bikal Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed that Ammon and Moab, these were two nations, they actually were the two nations that were born between the union of Lot and his daughters. They shall not be allowed to marry into Kal Hashem, to the congregation of Hashem. Gam Dor Asiri Lo Yovei Lehem Bikal Hashem Ad Olam. Even the tenth generation, which means forever, they shall not come into the congregation of Hashem. This means that even if they become gay converts, they can never marry into the central community. They can marry into the periphery, but not the central community of Hashem. What's the reason for this? Why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry at them and was merachik them? He distanced them from Klal Yisrael. Aldevara shaleikidmu eskem balechem v'bamayim baderech v'tseiskem v'mitzroim. Two reasons are given. Because when you came out of Egypt and you wanted to go through their land, they did not allow you to go through their land, and they should have come and they should have offered you bread and water. This was one reason. Especially, the fact is that they were related to Klal Yisrael, because Lot was the nephew of Abraham. And not only that, but Lot was saved because of the chesed of Abraham. Lot lived in stone, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that Sodom and Amorah should be destroyed, it was only through the chesed, the kindliness and the appeals of Abraham, that Lot was saved. Second reason, Vashe Sochar Alecho as Bilam ben Boor Mivsor Aram Naraim Lekalaleko. If we go back to the parshas of Balak, the Torah there tells us that Balak was Melech Moav. He was the king of the Moav. Actually, only Moav is mentioned, not Ammon. The Malbim says that at that time they were like one nation, and therefore Balak was the king of both of these nations. In the beginning of Parshas Balak, it states, "Vayar Balak ben Sipor es kol ha'shos Yisrael le'amori, vayogon mov mipnei ha'om me'od." When Balak saw what Israel did to the nations that stood up before them when they came out of Egypt, and they went through the desert, he became very afraid, and he approached Midian, and he went to hire Bilam. So this is what the Torah tells us. Asher Sochar Alecho as Bilam ben Boor, that he went and he hired Bilam, these two nations, Miftah Aram Naraim, Lekalaleko to Kershu. Ve'lo'ov Hashem Alekech L'Ishmael Bilam, and Hashem did not allow Bilam's curses to be heard. Ve'yafech Hashem Alekech L'Ochoes HaKlole Livrocho, because he loved you, he turned and changed the curses into brocha. Now, the Torah tells us another halacha, another law regarding two other nations. Leisisayiv Adomi, you shall not, however, totally reject and hate Edom. Edom is the empire that came from Esav, because they are your brothers. The Sifri explains, Rashi brings, even though by right you should, because they came out with the sword when you were coming through the desert, but Kiochichohu, they are your brothers, your brother, and Leisisai Mitzri, and you should not totally reject Egypt. Even though you should, because they enslaved you and killed your male children, but nevertheless you were a stranger in their land. When Yaakov needed a place, there was a famine in Canaan, so he came down to Egypt, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Paray allowed Yaakov and his family to stay in Egypt. Therefore, the third generation can marry into the central community of Hashem. This means that if they converted, then the third generation would be allowed to marry into the central community of Hashem. The Sifri, Rashi brings part of it in Simin Kuf on this parah, on this parsha, Simin Kuf Yud Zayin Sif Ches, says like this. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, Mitzrim heim tovu es Yisrael bayor. The Egyptians, they came and they took Israel and drowned them in the sea. The Edom heim kidme es Yisrael b'cherev. And Edom came to meet Israel with the sword. They wanted to kill them and annihilate them. And still, the Torah only rejected them for three generations. Ammonim u'ma'avim. Ammon and Moab, shenotlu eitzel lahachti es Yisrael. What did they do? It's going now on the second reason. They went and hired Bilam. What did Bilam do? Bilam gave them the Eitzah, the counsel. When he saw that his curses could not work, he said, Eleheim she'elu, seinim es azima. Their God, the God of Israel, hates promiscuity and he hates idolatry. Send your daughters in to entice them to promiscuity and to idolatry, and this way you'll bring them down. And this is what he did. They went, made an alliance with Midian, and Midian sent in the daughters, and because of this there was a great tragedy in Israel. So Ammoninama Avim Shenotl Eitzel Ahachti Es Yisrael, they went and they took counsel how to bring Israel down through sin. Osu Makosu Israelon. And the Torah rejected them forever. Now I would think the other way around. I would say the Paray that wanted to destroy the whole nation, enslave the nation, that's worse. Or Edom, Esav, that wanted to physically destroy the nation, that's worse. Then what Bilam and Moab and Ammon did. So the Sifri says, from here we learn, Lamdecho, Shahmachti asa Odom, Koshalei min ha'orgei. That to cause someone to do wrong, to cause someone to sin, this is more severe than to physically kill someone. What could be the reason? When you physically kill someone, even though this is from the worst avedas, like we learned last week, you are causing him to lose this world. But when you call someone to sin, to go astray, you are causing him to lose both worlds, this world and the next world. This is the principle that the Sifri learns from our parsha, why the punishment was more severe against Ammon and Moab with their conspiracy against Israel through Bilam than the punishment against Esav, Edom and Mitzrayim, even though physically they wanted to enslave or kill Israel. The Rambam brings, this is very appropriate now, now we're in Elo, approximately 3 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam brings in Hilchis Tshuva, Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph. Harbov Esrim Dvorim Me'akvin Asa Tshuva. When a person comes to do Tshuva, there are 24 types of sins that prevent one from doing Tshuva. Arbe mehen oven godel vayis echad mehen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu maspik biyodolase is tshuva lefi gedel chetoy. The Rambam here itemizes all 24 and he explains how one is prevented from doing tshuva. In the end he says kol eila dvorim eki yetzeben achol pishim ha'akvin es ha'tshuva, all of these ones that I mentioned, even though they become great barriers to tshuva, still a meinin aso, but it does not prevent them totally. Im oso odem tshuva men areza bal tshuva yish lechelek leila mabo. Ein lachodov eshemit bifnei tshuva. There is nothing in which tshuva cannot be mechaper, cannot atone for. And sometimes you need tshuva and other things together also, but there is nothing that it cannot help. So what is meant here is that it would become very, very difficult and he would not have the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do tshuva for these 24. Now, he says the first four,
could you just close the door, please?
The first four, Rambam breaks them up into a number of categories. Incidentally, the source of this, what the Rambam is saying, is from the Rif, which the Rif brings the Braiso in the last parak, the last chapter of Masechta Yuma. The Ran there makes the comment that it's not found in our Braisos. And some say there was a special Masechta Ktana, a special small Masechta, which had this, which we do not. Now, Arbe Mehen Oven Godl, the first four, which make up the first category, because they are such great averus, enormous averus, anyone that does one of these, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu maspik biyod alas is tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not help him do tshuva lefi gedel chetoy, because of the great severity of this sin. And these are the first four. I'm going to read just the first two because that's relevant to what we're speaking about. The first one is Hamachti Esarabi, someone who causes the rabbi, causes the community to sin. Ubechlalov and Zeh, included in this, is Amake Esarabi Mlasis Mitzvah, or someone who prevents the community from doing a mitzvah. This is number one. Two, Hamates Chaver Miderech Teva L'ro Kigei Nesis Mediach, someone who influences his friend to go astray from a good path to a bad path. For example, Nesis Mediach. Nesis Mediach is what we have in the Torah when someone will come and influence a person, convince him to come, let us go serve idolatry. The difference between the first one and the second one is merely that the first one is dealing with a rabbi, with a community, while the second one is dealing with a yochid, an individual. So these are the first two that the Rambam mentions, that because they are such great avedas, it will be very difficult for the person to do tshuva, and he will not have too much help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in doing this tshuva. The Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Tes, Seif Omer Aleph, Gemara is discussing that when you judge people, you're sitting in the court of law and you're judging a case. What happens if one of the, if it's a case that has to do with money matters, one of the litigants does not present an argument, which is a good argument? Should the judges present it for him? Should they intervene? So the Gemara says, no. Generally, when it comes to dine momenis, to monetary matters, im leiton, ein tonin lei. If he will make the argument good. If he doesn't think of the argument, we have to be careful about intervening. This is the exception, but this is the general principle. The dine nefoshes, what happens if it's not a if it's not a litigation that has to do with monetary matters, but it has to do with a death penalty? Then if he does not bring up an argument which is in his favor, and the judges know of such an argument, they must present it. An exception to this is Ein Toanin L'Mesis. Exception to this is the Mesis. The Mesis is the one who influenced someone else to go serve Avodah Zarah, idolatry. Im Le Toan, Ein Toanin Le. If he doesn't think of an argument in his favor, we keep quiet. The Gemara says, where is the source of this? Because by the Mesis it states, Le Sachmol Ve Le Techasolov. You shall not have compassion towards him, and in no ways should you try to find a schusa merit for him. Then the Gemara says, Omar b'shmul manachmanom v'yenison, minayin, sheinteini l'meisis. We can bring a proof, another proof of this, right from the Chumash, from the Nochash, from the serpent. In the beginning of the Sefer Torah, in Bereishis, Bereishis Gimel, in Pasuk Yud Aleph Yud Beis, Hashem came to man and he said, where were you? And man said, I was hiding. Why were you hiding? Because I was ashamed, I was naked. And Hashem said, who told you you were naked? Did you perhaps eat from the tree which I told you not to eat from? Vayemara Odom. And man said, O Isha Shinosati Modi, he nost limino itzva echel. So Odom put forth an argument. He says, don't blame it on me. Blame it on the woman. The woman that you gave to me, she's the one who gave me to eat. So Hashem went to the woman. What is this you did? And the woman said, don't blame it on me. Blame it on the serpent. He is the one who convinced me to eat. So Hashem went to the serpent and he said to the Nochosh, Ki osiso zos, because you did this, oruato mikol abehema. You shall be cursed from all animals and all chayas asod, and so forth and so on. That's the question. Why did Hashem ask the serpent why he did it? When he came to man, he asked man, why did he do this? And man presented an argument, an alibi. He said, it's not my fault, it's the woman's fault. He went to the woman and he asked the woman, why did he do this? And the woman presented an argument, an alibi. It's not my fault, it's the serpent's. So he should have gone to the serpent and said, why did you do this? And the serpent could have thought of some alibis. But he didn't say that. He went to the Nochosh and he said to the Nochosh, Ki asisa zos, because you have done this, oratol mikol abema. You are cursed from all animals. And the Gemara says that he could have come forth with an alibi, the serpent. What could he have said? He could have said, Divri Arav, Divri Atamul, Divri Mishaymin. So what if I told her to eat? What did she have to listen to me for? You told her not to eat.
If a Rebbe tells you one thing and a disciple tells you another, who do you listen to? No, here you told her not to eat and I told her to eat, therefore she should listen to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give him a chance to talk. Had he presented the argument, we would have to listen. But he didn't present the argument. HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly is not going to present the argument for him. So therefore the Gemara brings a raya, a proof that besides that it states explicit that you shall not in any way try to find merit for the Macy's, for the one who leads someone else astray, we see that this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conduct with the serpent, because he was leading others against Hashem. So we see that this Avera stands out. To influence someone to go against Hashem, not only certainly to deny Hashem or to go and commit idolatry, but even to lead him away from Torah, to lead him away from mitzvahs, this stands out amongst all Averas. And this is considered from the most serious of Averas, where we are commanded not even to look. If a person does an Avera, we have to try to find a justification for him, try to find a merit for him. But for the one who influenced him, caused him to do this Avera, no. Him we do not look for merits and we do not look for justifications. What would be the antithesis to this Avera? Bringing someone to merit, bringing someone closer to Hashem, bringing someone to serve Hashem and to do mitzvahs. The Gemara in Yuma on Pezayin Omar Aleph, Gemara brings this, and it brings both cases. The Gemara says, call him a Zakeh Sarabi, whoever brings Schus to the Rabbi, whoever brings merit to a community. This means he brings them closer to Hashem, closer to a good way. Ein chet ba'al yodai. Then this person will not have to worry that maybe one day a chet, an aveira, will come to his hands. V'cholamachti asarabim. And whoever brings sin to the majority, to the community, kimat ein maspikin b'yodai la'aseis tshuva. It is almost as if he will not be allowed to do tshuva. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not help him in any way to do tshuva because he has led astray a tzibur, a community. And then the Gemara explains, Kol ha-mazakeh sarabim ein chet ba'al al yodai. Whoever brings chus to the rabim, a chet will not come to his hands, my taimo. What is the reason? Kedei shleyehu begehenem v'talmidov beganeden. Well, it says it's not right that this person in the end should fall, because this person that brought schus, he brought merit to the community, and then later on, let's say in his later life, he himself goes astray. What's going to happen? He'll end up in Gehenna, and the community, which is considered his talmidim, his disciples, will end up in Gan Eden, and this is not right. So the schus of the tzibor, the schus of the community, will stand for him. And just like they will get reward and they will get Gan Eden for the good that he brought to them, then that good has to help for him also. How do we know this? Shmuel brings a pasuk from Tehillim. Tehillim Tezayin. Ki leisazev nafshi lishol leisiten chasidko chasidecho lirei shochas. David HaMelech said to Hashem, do not forsake me in the grave and do not let your righteous see Gehenna. This means that if they were righteous at one time. A person can always change. But if their righteousness brought them to lead a community to righteousness, then that will stand by them to prevent them from changing to bad. Then the Gemara says, someone that leads astray a tzibur to sin, it must speak in biyodalas is tshuva, then he almost will never do tshuva, for the same reason, because if he does tshuva, it's going to come out, he will be in Gan Eden, and meanwhile the community that he led astray will be in Gehenna, and this is not right, and therefore their punishment and their debt will stand by him. And Shinemar, and the Gemara brings a posuk in Mishle, Chofches, posuk Yud Zayin. King Shuleiman Melech, King Solomon said, Odom Oshuk Bedam Nofesh Ad Bor Yonus. A person whose hands are full of theft and blood. It's referring to because he led astray a community. Ad bor yonus, until the day of his burial, he will be pursued by this avir. Al yismechuvai, and he will not find who to help. Who to help him. Now this principle that we're saying is actually, we have another source for this, and this is a Mishnah Masecht Ovis. It's a Mishnah Masecht Ovis. And the Mishnah elaborates a little further. In Perek Hay, Posuk Yud Ches, Kol Hamazakes HaRabim, whoever brings chus to the rabbim, brings merit to the rabbim by teaching them mitzvahs, bringing them close to Torah, leading them in a good path, ein chet bo al yodei, then he does not have to worry that a chet, a sin, will come to him. V'chol hamachtias harabim, and whoever leads astray a tzibur, ein maspikim biyodalas is tshuva, then it will be very, very difficult for him to do tshuva. Meisha zocho b'zikas harabim. Moshe had the great zchus, the great merit. This was the apex of zchus harabim. Moshe taught Torah to Klal Yisrael. And he was mezakas harabim. Therefore, zchus harabim toliboy. All of the reward of the rabim will stand by Moshe. As it states, Sitkas Hashem also, Mishpotovim Yisrael. Yerovim ben Nevot, Yerovim, Choto, he sinned, Vehechtia Sarabim. And he brought the Tzibur to sin. He influenced the Tzibur to serve idolatry. Chet Arabim Toliboy. And therefore the sin of the Tzibur shall stand by him forever. As it states, Chatash Yerovim, Asher Choto, Asher Hechti Es Yisrael. The sin which he did and which he caused Israel to do. The Sifri said the reason, because when you lead someone astray, so not only are you causing him to lose this world, you're causing him to lose the next world. And the Gemara says the same thing by when you bring someone close to Torah. It says, for example, Oviv Meviu, our Mishnah in Masechta Bava Metzia, Oviv Meviu Lidei Chai Elam Hazeh, a father brings a person into this world, not Rabbi, but someone who teaches him Torah and mitzvahs, is meviu lidei olam hazeh ve'olam haba, brings him into both worlds. So these are the two hafechim, the two sides of the coin that we're dealing with. So from here we see how great of an aveira it is to influence someone to go away from the Derech HaTov, and how great of a mitzvah it is to influence someone to walk in the Derech HaTov. Now, the Maral in his explanation on all this, he points out that actually both this Mishnah and the Gemara in Masechet Yoma is referring to a rabbi. See, the Rambam brought both phases. He says the first is someone leading astray a rabbi, the tzibur, a community, or doing mitzvahs for them, with them, causing them to do mitzvahs. Then there's a second phase that the Rambam brings, and that's hamates chaveri, that you lead an individual astray. This that it states that the he'll never be able to do tshuva, or vice versa, the schus of the rabbim will always be with him, and therefore he'll never come to the hate. The Maral points out that this is particularly relevant in the case of a rabbi. And that's how the Mishnah and the Gemara is speaking. It's not just because when you're dealing with an individual, you're dealing with one, and you're dealing with a rabbi, you're dealing with many. That's one difference between an individual and many. But there's another difference. We find many times in the Gemara that the rabbi, when you speak of a tzibur, you speak of a community, it's a different entity. It's not just a case where here's individual and here are many, but it's a different entity altogether. And many times they have different halachos. Like we know there's a halach of a minyan. A minyan is not because there's a lot of individuals. A minyan creates a new entity. Or we know, for example, the Gemara brings that when it comes to possessions that belong to an individual or even individuals, that's one halacha, that's one entity. When it comes to possessions which belong to a tzibur, to the community, that's another entity. The Maral says a rabbim is a different entity. It's a different entity, it has a different status and a different kedusha, a different sanctity and a different height. And the reason for this is because individuals come and go. Individuals are subject to change. Individuals are born and individuals die. The Gemara says, an atzibur, ein atzibur mesh. Atzibur doesn't die. Especially when we're speaking of the tzibur of Israel. And a tzibur, a community, this entity is an entity which is not subject to change like individuals. If a tzibur does change, this is a very slow, rare process. And that's because of the level at which it stands. There's a Mishnah in Masechet Ovos, in Mishnah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, it states as follows. Kol ha'eskim im atzibur, ye'eskim imahem l'shem shemayim. Whoever is someone that works on behalf of the community, he should work on their behalf, l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven, for the sake of the people and for the sake of heaven. And then schus aveisom misyatom, and then the schus of Avram, Yitzchok and Yaakov will help him. And sikosom emeres la'ad, and their schus, the schus of the oveis, stand behind the tzibur forever, and you will be successful there. Va'atem malani aleichem socharbe kilasisem, And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you that were successful, really it's not your work, it's the schools of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but I will consider as if you did it, and I will give you the reward. See, the Mishnah, in this Mishnah, Masechta Avos, this is in Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, this Mishnah is giving very good counsel that when someone is working for a community, whether it's for a shul, a yeshiva, a chevek kedisha, a tztoka, or leid shom, wherever it might be. So this is what the Chazal refer to as a eskim im tzorchei tzibur. These are people who are working on behalf of the tzibur. There's a special brocha we give to them every Shabbos, and you can put them. Now, what should be the person's intent? So it was Rav Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nosi, said. He said, you should work on their behalf, l'shem shemayim. And if you do, you'll succeed. Because they have the schus of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So how can you not succeed? Maybe you'll say, so if they have the schus of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so they're doing it, not me. Atem malani alechem sochahar bekila asisem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, though, I'll look at it as if you did. You achieved the success, and I will reward you accordingly. So the Maral asks, what does it mean that they have the schus of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? And he says very simply. An individual does not have the schus of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's been thousands of years since Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov lived. And hundreds and hundreds of generations. An enormous time has lapsed. And therefore, as an individual, one does not have that schus. But at Tzibur, and especially when it comes to the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, they are beyond time. And they are beyond constant turmoil and change. And therefore, there is no hefsik, there is no interruption and division between them and Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. This that we always say, b'schus Avraham, b'schus Yitzchak, or b'schus Yaakov, that's when we come as part of the tzibur. As we come as part of Klal Yisrael. But if we are to come as an individual, then we have very weak links to the Ovis, which were hundreds of generations away, with all types of changes and interruptions and so forth. This is what the Gemara means when it says, Einat Tzibur Meish. The Tzibur doesn't die. Especially Klal Yisrael doesn't. So therefore, when you're working with the Tzibur, now you're working with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore, if you're doing the L'shem Shemayim, if you are sincere and your intentions are good, you will succeed. Now, the Maral says, now we can understand what the Gemara is telling us. It says, if someone is mezakeh sarabim, someone comes and he brings mitzvahs to the tzibur. He directs them, brings them closer to Hashem. He teaches them Torah. He's not dealing with something which is subject to constant change, something which is subject to living and death, something which is subject to time. But he's dealing with a level which is beyond that. Therefore, that's chus that he gave to the tzibur, which he shares in, will be a chus for him forever. Therefore, the Mishnah says, "Ein chet bo al yodei." A chet will never come to his hands. And schus harabim, the schus of the rabim is toliboy. The schus of the tzibur will be his. And that's something which is beyond time. Kol hamachti asarabim. Heaven forbid, someone that brings a tzibur to sin. This is not the same as an individual. This has a permanence. This is a permanent fixture. And he shares in that chait of the tzibur, not in the chait of the individual, of the yochid. And now when he wants to do tshuva from that, he's going to find that very, very difficult. Eimah speaking, biyode lasish tshuva. He'll find that very, very difficult. Because this is not a chait which is temporary, but it becomes a permanent fixture that he shares in. And therefore it states, Eimah speaking, biyode lasish tshuva, chait harabim tlui boy. This is becomes part of his chait. One example was with Moshe, and the other example was with Yerovam ben Nevat. The Maral says very interestingly, this Mishnah that we're quoting in Perakei, he says, what is its relationship between the previous two Mishnais? The previous two Mishnais are speaking, one is Kol Avo Shi Sheina Tluya Badover Eina Batele Lailam, a love between two people which is motivated only by the love itself and not for any ulterior motives. That love will last forever. That was the Mishnah, the two before this one. And the Mishnah right before this one is that if there's a machlekes l'shem shamayim, if there's a dispute, the Gemara says, like for example, Beisham and Beisil, they have many disputes, legal disputes, to try to come to the true halacha, the true law. A machlekes l'shem shamayim, that's sefer liskayim. That will never fade away. It's a machlekes shalei l'shem shamayim, a machlekes which is not for the sake of heaven, but for ulterior motives. That eventually will become history, and eventually will be lost even from history, be totally forgotten about. But a machlekes l'shem shamayim, a machlekes which is with the intention, both sides have the intention, only the honor of Hashem and the Almighty. Now that will be engraved in history forever. That will never be lost, like the machlekes, and we always study of the disputes of Beisham and Beis Hillel. What do these two Mishnais have to do with here? So this Maral is very good. We're speaking about things which are beyond time and beyond constant change. We live in a world which is governed by time. We live in a world of constant change, constant turmoil, constant upheaval. But there's a world which is above that, which is beyond constant change and constant upheaval and not governed by time. And first the Tanna tells us, a pure love which is not based on any ulterior motives, that's a love which extends beyond the world of time and change, and therefore in that love there's no change, it'll be forever. The Mishnah brings the example there of the Avas Dovid Yonason. Nothing could break the loyalty, nothing could break the loyalty and the dedication that David and Yohonasan had for each other. Even though the whole kingship of Israel came between them. So that type of love is beyond the world of constant change and turmoil. In other words, there are qualities which one can achieve beyond time. And then the mission, but a love which is based on selfishness and ulterior motives, no, that is not enduring. And then the Mishnah tells us the same thing, a dispute. If there's a dispute and each side is only interested in their own interests, whatever they might be, that's not enduring whatsoever. If it's a dispute that each side is only interested to bring honor to the Almighty, that will endure forever, because that's beyond time. And then the Tanna, the Mishnah, comes here, that if a person does a mitzvah himself, well, that's a very great level. But if he does if he brings a community to do a mitzvah, that schus and that mitzvah, that's beyond time and beyond change, because that's the level of the tzibur, and that will endure forever, and that will protect him forever. And vice versa, a chet, if he does and causes a tzibur to do a chet, an aveira. This aveira that we're speaking about, this unfortunately and even tragically, is too relevant today. To give you an idea, now this Orach Chaim was not something that's written today. This was written in the 1500s. But Orach Chaim and Simon Shin Zayin, Siv Tezayin, it's actually in Hilchos Shabbos. And the Machaber and the Ramor are discussing what one is permitted to read on Shabbos, what one is permitted not permitted to read. So the Machaber says that books which have subjects in which can entice a person to sin, for example, promiscuity or other such things, he says this is something which is forbidden all of the time to read. Umisha Hebron, Umisha Hatikon, Veinsor Chlema Matfison, and those that publish such books, print such books, Machtiva Sarabim, they're Machtiya Sarabim. They are influencing people to do sin. And the Mishnah Berurah brings here the Chay Meichres for him, Asechri Binyonim Keilu. Not only the printers and the publishers, but also those who sell such books. They make them available to people to buy. They are included in Machti Asarabim, Voma Chazal. And he brings what we're saying, that the sages have already said, Godla Machti Lodem Yesem Min Ahorgai, that someone who causes an individual to sin, this is worse than even killing him in one perspective, because when he kills someone, so that's just in this world, but here he's causing him to lose even his next world. And then he brings in his Bir Halocha what the Chazal say, that Hamachti Asarabim in Maspikin Yodolas is tshuva, how difficult it is to do tshuva. Now, on this subject in our times, we have the media, all types of media. And so much of the media fosters promiscuity, it fosters violence, bloodshed, and erosion in values and morals. This is all influencing the rabbim, people, to go astray. You have people that gun running, they make weapons available to others. This is a Machti Asarabim. You have drug pushers, Machti Asarabim. And then this came into our world about 40 years ago. A new era started that later on historians named the era of permissiveness. Until then, there was a fairly strong standard of morals and values. Whether the people kept all the morals or didn't, that was another question. But they did not dispute or try to eradicate this moral system. And 30, 40 years ago, it started to become eroded. And we entered into what was later on to become the liberated era, the era of permissiveness. And much of it was fostered by many people who branded themselves as free thinkers and liberated thinkers. They were academics, teachers, journalists, writers, novelists, professors. And it's enormous what ruination this has brought to the world, or to the Western world, in the last 30, 40 years. It's just last night on the radio, I heard a commentator, I forgot his name, there's a famous commentator that they have on the radio once or twice a week, from America, well-known commentator. And he was talking on this subject. Actually, he was talking on a particular aspect of the subject, on obscenities. He says that there were laws, used to be laws, against obscenities, that you could not publish obscene literature or plays or so forth. He says in America and other countries today, the courts have given up. They used one of the amendments in America to allow freedom of speech, freedom of expression. He says the founding fathers, he says, they had in mind what was going on today. They had in mind that a person must have the right, the right of assembly. He must have the right to bring forth objections to certain laws. This is what they had in mind when they enshrined in the Constitution freedom of speech and freedom of expression. But he says, he showed how it went from one step to the other, to the other, to the other, where today he says the courts in America don't even attempt anymore to define what's obscene, because legally there is nothing left that can be defined as what's obscene. But he says, where did it start? This was interesting. He says, I'll tell you where it started. He started at Berkeley, because I was there, he said. Berkeley, the University of California. He says, that's where it started. He says, I remember the day it started. He says, there was a line of literally hundreds or thousands of students that lined up on the campus. They did this as a challenge to the administration. And they made a big snake marching up and down the campus. This must have been thousands of students, because the Berkeley University is massive. And they shouted, he said, continually, four-lettered obscene words. He says, I was present. And they threatened the administration to do something about it, because if they would try to stop them, they would take the administration to court on the basis of that amendment. He says, and that's where it started. And he says, this has brought ruination, right, to America and to the Western world. Now, this is the Mahdi Asarabim, that it's enough if someone wants to be a chayt ba'atzmai. If someone himself wants to do something, that's one thing. But when he becomes an influence on others, and especially today we have all of the technology that one can become such a great influence on the other. So then this is the Mahdi Asarabim at its best, or at its worst. And especially that actually the foundation of the free-thinking society, the so-called free-thinking society, liberated society, the foundation was, is that there's no God, and therefore we are responsible to no one. We're responsible to ourselves. That's all. Because it was on that basis that they could reject an entire moral system. Now, one final note, and that is, just as we see that when one influences and convinces someone to go astray, or to the contrary, to do good, that's all his excuse. We have to bear in mind that this is referring to where he does it explicitly. If he doesn't do it explicitly, he does it implicitly, that also is very close in this category. In other words, if a person through his actions, through implicit actions, becomes an influence on someone else to do good, or an influence on a community to do good, then it's a borderline case of what we're speaking about here, where it could be schus harabim toliboy, that the schus of the rabbim will be his. And if a person through his actions, implicit actions, will cause a community, an individual or a community to go astray, then chet harabim toliboy, then he'll share in that chet. And this is another Gemara in Masechta Yuma, where the Gemara says, Gemara calls this Chilul Hashem. The Gemara in Daf Pei Vov, Gemara says, "V'yoavta eis Hashem elokecha." A person should love. We are commanded to love Hashem. What does it mean to love Hashem? The Gemara says, "Sheshem Shemayim misahev al yotko." Not only to love Hashem, but to cause others to love Hashem. How do we cause others to love Hashem? Shekeiru v'sheinu mishamish tamirei hachon. If a person goes, he goes to a yeshiva, and he learns Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara, then he comes out of the yeshiva, Maso yomatnoi be'amuna, and he becomes a very upright, decent citizen, where his business matters are with integrity. Dibor benachas im abriyos. He's a person that mixes with people and speaks politely and nicely to all people. Mahabriyos aimre shalom. What do people say? Ashrei oviv shalam deitera. How fortunate is the father of that person that taught him Torah. Ashrei rabbi shalam deitera. How fortunate is the Rebbe that taught that person Torah. And how unfortunate is it for those who did not go to study Torah. Look, plainly lam detera, o kamanoim drochov. This person went and he studied Torah, and see how beautiful his ways are. Kama misukoni maisov. See how beautiful his deeds are. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, avodai ato Yisrael asher b'cho espa'er. Hashem says that you are my servants, Israel, which I take pride in. Now, this is a person who, through indirect actions, is causing the tzibur, the community, to do mitzvahs, because he becomes a role model for them, and they want to emulate him, and they want their children to emulate him. He causes others to send their children to yeshivas, to learn Torah. Then the Gemara says, "Avol misha keira v'sheinu mishamish tamidei hachomim." But someone who goes and he learns Mishnah, Chumash Mishnah, and Gemara, then he comes out of a yeshiva ve'ein maso yematn b'amuna. He becomes a businessman, but he's not, does not deal. His dealings are not honest and with integrity. Ein dibur benachas im abrios. He speaks harshly to people. He does not have manners. Mahabriyas Emre Shalom. What do people say? Oy leile pleni shalom atera. How misfortunate it is that that person went and studied Torah. Look what it did to him. Oy leile aviv shalom atera. How misfortunate it is, unfortunate it is, that his father taught him Torah. Oy leile rabbi shalom atera. And how unfortunate it is that his Rebbe taught him Torah. Pleni shalom atera ro kama milku kolin maisov, kama milku orin drochov. This person went and he studied Torah. Look how bad his ways are. Look how ugly his ways are. And on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that this is the nation that I do not want. Now, here's a person that through in his indirect actions, he causes people to hate Torah. He causes people not to want to have Torah, not to want to send their children to Torah, even though he's not telling them to do so. And still HaKadosh Baruch Hu points the finger at him and he says, no, you're not from my people. So this is a person who is very close to this category of Machdias Rabbim, where he causes others to go away from Torah and Mitzvahs, and then Chet HaRabbim told him, well, he will share in that Chet. So directly is certainly what we're speaking about, but this can extend even to indirect actions, both Leteiv Ulra. This is the principle of the influence, direct or indirect influence, that one has on another, that he assumes responsibility for. And the source we have in our parsha, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu hated more Ammon and Moab than even Egypt or Edom. Because he said Egypt and Edom only tried to destroy this world of yours, but Ammon and Moab tried to turn you against me, where you would lose both worlds, and therefore he distanced them forever. This is a very important principle for us to know, and halavai we should always be from those who are mazake asarabim, bring merit to the tzibur.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.